Greetings to you in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the second in a series of five seminars that will be taking a close look at different religions of the world. It is being brought to you by the Ministry of International Biblical Training in Chattanooga, Tennessee. This particular seminar is dealing with the Church of Christ Scientist, which is commonly called Christian Science. The first in this series dealt with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The third in the series deals with the Jehovah's Witnesses. The fourth in the series deals with the Church of Scientology. And the fifth in this series deals with the religion of Islam. The Church of Christ Scientist, or Christian Science, revolves around the person of Mary Baker Eddy. She was its founder, and she was born in Bow, New Hampshire, in the year 1821. She was one of six children. Her father was a strict Calvinist, and she came to disagree with him over things like God's judgment and the existence of a place called heaven and hell. She missed a lot of school when she was young due to health issues. At the age of 17, she joined the Congregational Church in Tilton, New Hampshire, and she said they allowed her to join in spite of her objection to what she considered to be some bad theology of that particular church. In her 20s and 30s, she had continuing health issues, and when she was about 40 years old, she heard about a man from Maine named Phineas P. Quimby, who was supposedly having great success curing people without using traditional methods of the day. She went to see Quimby and claimed that she had been healed by him and his methods. He claimed his work was based on metaphysics and Christianity, and he felt he had rediscovered the healing methods of Jesus. She became a devoted follower of his work. She even gave a public lecture on Quimby's, quote, spiritual science healing disease, end quote. So at first, she really praised him, and she praised his work. However, later, she claimed that most of what he taught, he learned from her. Most non-Christian scientists feel that she was greatly indebted to Quimby for her writings, and in fact claim that much of what she wrote came right out of his manuscripts. She denied that and said that all the things that she had written in her founding of the religion had come to her from God. The official Christian Science view is that Mary Baker Eddy gave him most of her best works. And whatever we read from Quimby actually originally came from Mary Baker Eddy. In fact, Sybil Wilbur, Mary Baker Eddy's official biographer, even questions the existence of any original manuscripts by Quimby. Yet Quimby's son George maintains that his father wrote numerous manuscripts and that Mary Baker Eddy made liberal use of them, taking his father's work as her own. Yet in 1921, Horatio W. Dresser published a book called, quote, The Quimby Manuscripts, end quote. These manuscripts contain correspondences between Phineas Quimby and his patients, as well as the Quimby manuscripts that Quimby's son said existed and which had been previously questioned. A copy of this rare volume can be seen today in the library of Union Theological Seminary in New York City. However, interestingly enough, most neutral observers of both the documents written by Phineas Quimby and the writings of Mary Baker Eddy will conclude that it is clear that Baker took most of her writings from his. He called his work, quote, The Science of the Christ, end quote, while Mary Baker Eddy determined to call her work Christian Science. In 1866, Mary Baker Eddy took a nasty fall on the ice. Years later, she said that the man who examined her said this fall would take her life. On the third day after the fall, however, she read Matthew chapter 9, 2 through 8, which describes Jesus healing a paralytic. She said that as she read the story, she was healed, rose up and got dressed, and was ever afterward in better health than she'd ever been before. She later said that 1866 was the time she discovered Christian Science. Mary Baker Eddy's account of things would later be challenged. Her name at the time was Mrs. Patterson, and she was examined and looked after at the time of her fall by a man named Dr. Alvin M. Cushing from Springfield, Massachusetts. In August of 1904, he made out an affidavit which reads as follows. Quote, I did not at any time declare or believe that there was no hope of Mrs. Patterson's recovery, or that she was in a critical condition, or did at any time say or believe that she had but 3 or any other limited number of days to live. And Mrs. Patterson did not suggest or say or pretend or in any way whatever intimate that on the 3rd day or any other day of her said illness she had miraculously recovered or been healed, or that discovering or perceiving the truth or the power employed by Christ to heal the sick, she had by it been restored to health. End quote. As it turned out, this event was nonetheless a turning point for Mary Baker Eddy, and she claims that in 1866 she began to carry on a growing healing practice. She taught others her methods and began to write them down. Interestingly enough, though, about 10 days after her cure from the fall on the ice, she wrote to a friend, Julius Dresser, a former student of Phineas Quimby, to come to assist her because, as she said, quote, I am slowly failing, end quote. It's interesting to hear that she wrote for assistance after she said she was completely fine. In 1875, she wrote the main textbook of Christian Science called, quote, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, end quote. That same year, the church began regular meetings. On August 23, 1879, the Church of Christ Scientists was incorporated. Mary Baker Eddy was called as pastor. A few years later, the so-called First Church of Christ Scientists, or Mother Church, was built in Boston, Massachusetts. The organization went national in 1886. Since 1971, though, the number of churches has dropped from about 1,800 to 900 in the United States. That's a reduction of about 50% of the congregations that were in existence. 2 years prior to this, she had married Asa Gilbert Eddy, a sewing machine agent. He was her third husband and was one of her students and became the first person to be given the title, quote, Christian Science Practitioner, end quote. Mary Baker Eddy later moved to Concord, New Hampshire, and continued writing and revising the main textbook of Christian Science called, quote, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. This book is the main text of the religion and has in it what one should study to become a Christian Scientist. Later, she started the Christian Science Monitor, a newspaper dedicated to reporting the good and better side of the news. It still exists today and has been recognized as one of the world's fine newspapers. Mary Baker Eddy said the mission of the paper was, quote, to injure no man, but to bless all mankind, end quote. Staff of the paper have been recipients of 7 Pulitzer Prizes over the years. Later in her ministry, Mary Baker Eddy had problems from people. Augusta Stetson, the leader of the New York church, was banished from the church she had built because of her growing popularity and how it threatened Mary Baker Eddy's position. Also, some of Mary Baker Eddy's pupils began to hold to the doctrine that if somebody was spiritual enough, they could conceive a child without a man. Mrs. Josephine Woodbury claimed that she had done that in 1890. That claim was played up in the newspapers and embarrassed Mary Baker Eddy to the point that she had Mrs. Woodbury excommunicated from the church. The Christian Science denomination is led by a self-perpetuating board of directors. The first members were appointed by Mrs. Eddy herself. The church rules are found in a document called the, quote, Church Manual, end quote, written also by Mrs. Eddy. In 1895, she wrote a bylaw which, quote, ordained the Bible and Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures as pastor on this planet of all the churches of the Christian Science denomination, end quote. You can see here that she set it up so that the book she wrote called Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures would be equal to that of the Bible when it came to discerning what was right and how the church was to be run. This also meant that no sermons would be preached in services because the Bible and her book were to be read. They were the pastors, if you will, of the church and the services that took place. Prescribed portions of Scripture were read along with passages from her book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. There are also Christian Science hymns and prayer that is offered in the services. The closest equivalent to full-time ordained pastors in the Christian Science Church are what they call Christian Science practitioners. These are people who have received special instruction in Christian Science healing and who devote their full time to the practice of its healing methods. Wednesday evening meetings at Christian Science churches are, quote, testimony meetings, end quote, in which people take time to testify about their particular healings. Mary Baker Eddy said that the Bible was her only textbook when it came to founding the church. However, on page 497 of her book Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, we find this statement, quote, as its appearance of truth, we take the inspired word of the Bible as our sufficient guide to eternal life, end quote. So it appears that the Bible is the ultimate authority in one sense. However, Mary Baker Eddy has made it clear that everything she wrote in her book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, was given to her by divine revelation and therefore is uncorrupted and perfect. In the writings of Christian Science, it is also stated that they feel that there are numerous errors made in the Bible along the way. With regard to the Bible, they call them, quote, manifest mistakes, end quote. Yet with regard to the writing of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, here is what Mary Baker Eddy had to say, quote, I should blush to write of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures as I have, were it of human origin, and were I apart from God its author. But as I was only a scribe echoing the harmonies of heaven in divine metaphysics, I cannot be super modest in my estimate of the Christian Science textbook, end quote. So you can see here that she says she would be embarrassed or she would have to blush if she was to say that her book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, was written by her, because that would be wrong. She would be embarrassed if she said that. But because she says it was given to her by divine revelation, she is proud to talk about it as being a book that was really written by God through her. As you study the writings of the Christian Science Church, it becomes clear that the only correct interpretation of Scripture is to be seen through the teachings of Mary Baker Eddy and her writings in her book, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures. As it was in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints with the Book of Mormon, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures written by Mary Baker Eddy is seen as equal, if not superior, to the Bible itself. The next thing that we are going to do is take a look at some of the doctrines of this church. I have to warn you that some of these doctrines will seem very strange to you, especially if you have come from a Christian background. Some of these doctrines seem almost unreal. They make very little sense to people who have been taught normal things about being, about matter, and about existence. However, these are the doctrines of the church, and you can verify that by going to different libraries and going to the internet to research this for yourself if you might desire to do so. However, I could see how some people might say that I might be making these things up. They seem so strange. One of the main doctrines of the church is that Mary Baker Eddy and Christian Science teach that matter and evil are unreal. Mrs. Eddy says, quote, there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all, spirit is immortal truth, matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal, matter is the unreal and temporal, end quote. Therefore, for Christian Scientists, actual matter does not exist. It is seen as an illusion. It is, quote, the opposite of truth, the opposite of spirit, the opposite of God, that of which immortal mind takes no cognizance, that which mortal man sees, feels, hears, tastes, and smells only in belief." End quote. For Christian Science, evil is false. It is nothing. It is unreal. It is an illusion and a false belief. Evil, for Christian Science, never existed. It is a, quote, false belief, end quote. What that means is that everything that we normally say we see that exists is an illusion. Matter is false. It never existed, and it never does exist in the present time. The only reason we feel that matter and physical things actually exist is because we have been deceived into feeling that way. Therefore, physical bodies never existed and never exist now. Your physical body that you see is an illusion that you have been deceived into feeling is real. So therefore, anything that is going on with your body is also a false illusion. For Christian Science, disease is an illusion and a delusion. Mary Baker Eddy said, quote, "Man is never sick, for mind is not sick, and matter cannot be," end quote. Therefore, if someone appears to have a disease, they are deceived. The cure is to show them that they have fallen to a place where they are accepting that the disease is something real. If they can be shown through the methods of Christian Science that their disease is a false thing, it will go away. It is interesting here because if the body never existed in the first place, you would wonder why they would be concerned about physical health. One would wonder why they would try to get a physical disease to go away if, in fact, the physical disease was false in the first place. However, they feel that a person has been first deceived into feeling that their physical body is real, and then they have been deceived into feeling that their disease is real. At least if they get rid of the illusion of the physical disease, the illusion of the physical body would be better. In actuality, there seems to be different levels of the illusion that are easier to deal with than others. For Christian Science, a person's life goes on forever. Death is also unreal. Death is only a belief which must be conquered by eternal life. It is described in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, the book that Mary Baker Eddy wrote, in the following way. Death is described as, quote, "an illusion, the lie of life in matter, the unreal and untrue," end quote. Mary Baker Eddy had numerous things to say about a person and their physical body. For instance, she said, quote, "It is true that man lives. This fact can never change in science," end quote. What that means is that she feels that a person is alive and in fact does live. However, the illusion, as she would call it, of having a physical body is just that, an illusion and a delusion. Therefore, anything that would go wrong with that body is also a delusion, and the end of one's life is also a delusion. She said this about that situation, quote, "Death is but another phase of the dream that existence can be material. The dream of death must be mastered by mind here or hereafter. Life is real and death is the illusion," end quote. So we see that Mary Baker Eddy has a theology that says that physical matter is absolutely an illusion, a delusion, and it is false. So according to Christian Science, nothing that we actually see, feel, or touch as being real, as being physical, as having matter, and having existence is actually real. It's all a big delusion. And if we would just stop buying into the delusion, we would never have to deal with the delusion of physical bodies. We would never have to deal with the delusion of false physical bodies and things that go wrong with our bodies. And we would just be, if you will, outside our physical bodies, not held in by this delusion. We would be able to live freely and forever without any of the constraints of the delusion of physical matter. With regard to God, Mrs. Eddy was often very unclear. She said God is all in all. She said God is good. She said that God was a spirit and that nothing is actually matter. So we're back to that whole thing about the fact that anything that we see as matter or anything that has physical being is actually false, and we are looking at a delusion. Christian Science also denies the existence of the Trinity, saying that to have such a doctrine would mean that there would be more than one God. When it comes to the doctrine of creation, we have already seen that for Christian Science, matter and physical matter is false. It's an illusion. So when the Bible speaks of God actually creating the physical world and the physical universe and physical people, that is actually one of the errors that we have adopted in Scripture. It really didn't happen in a physical sense, according to Christian scientists. What we perceive as physical never really existed. It was never created in a physical sense by God. It was just something that he was reflecting upon. It represents his reflections, but we have assigned a physical sense to it because we are caught up in the error of seeing things that are spiritual in a physical way. Once we get rid of that error of seeing things in a physical way, we can be cleared to move forward in our faith. When it comes to human beings, Christian Science teaches that we are actually spirit, and anything physical about us is part of the error or the delusion that we have been caught up in this life. Our physical body actually never did, nor does it now exist. We only feel we have a body because, again, we have erred in our perceptions and have been deceived into feeling we have a body. Mary Baker Eddy said that we are not made up of bones and other material elements. We are made in the image of God, and that has to be spirit, not body. The Bible says that man was made from the dust of the earth. Christian scientists say that that was one of the mistakes they found in the Bible. When it comes to the doctrine of sin and the doctrine of the fall, for Christian scientists, there is no such thing. Biblical stories about sin and the fall are said by Christian Science to be examples of what could never be, as opposed to what really happened. They say that sin is not possible for a person. People are spirit. Spirit is God, and therefore God cannot sin. Sin is another illusion that we have been in our error deceived into feeling is real. The problem is that Christian Science never explains where this error comes from that we always seem to be committing. After all, if the only thing that actually really exists is God and God is totally good, you have to wonder where this error comes from in the first place. However, we are never told where this error has come from or how it came into being, and certainly it could never be from God because God is all good. Yet on the other hand, they never say that this error is sin because they say that sin also is an illusion which never exists. So the issue of where the delusion or the error that we continue to commit as human beings comes from is never really adequately addressed. I mean, if the only thing, according to Christian Science, that really exists is God, and God is only good and never bad, and nothing evil can exist because evil never exists, then you have to wonder where this delusion or error comes from that we keep committing. It seems contradictory within the theology of the Christian Science Church. If nothing exists except good and God, you have to wonder where they come up with the whole issue of error and delusion. when it comes to human beings, Christian Science says that human beings have simply always existed and will never have an end. People really were never born on this earth. They never really existed here. The issue of people actually being born, having a birthday, and being born into this world is just part of the mortal error that we all make. Yet again, we don't know where that mortal error comes from in this world. Since the answer to that seems pretty elusive, let's move on to the doctrine of Christ, and this gets even more confusing for those who have been brought up in a Christian church. Christian scientists separate Jesus from Christ. Jesus and Christ are two different things. Stay with me on this because it does get a little complicated. For Christian scientists, Christ is a divine idea and part of what God sees as good. So Christ is just something that is a term for God's goodness. Jesus, on the other hand, was a man who lived on this earth and who taught what the Christ or divine idea was like. Now you might say to yourself that Christian Science says that it is an illusion or an error to feel that something physical exists, so how can they feel that Jesus was really in existence in a physical state? That is a very good question, and we will see what the Christian Science Church has to say about that very shortly. But first of all, we should see that since man has never sinned, there was no real reason for Jesus to come to take away our sins or to be our Savior from sin. That is so diametrically opposed to what the traditional Christian Church has taught for thousands of years. Yet the Christian Science Church maintains that sin is an illusion, and therefore, Jesus would never have to come to save us from something that was false. So, according to Christian Science, the real reason Jesus came was to present himself to us in a mortal way that we could see and perceive, since in our error, that's the way we perceive things. So, Jesus came here to be perceived as a real man when in fact he was not. And this real man who was not came here to teach people who were not how to escape the delusion of feeling that they were made of matter. Let me see if I can sum this up because it does get a little confusing for some people. Christian Science teaches that Jesus, who as we said before was someone different than the Christ, came to this earth, which by the way according to Christian Science doctrine doesn't really exist. Nonetheless, Jesus came here, and even though he was actually a spirit and therefore invisible, he accommodated himself to our error of seeing things in physical ways and allowed himself to be seen by us in a physical form. He then went about teaching us what God was really like and how if we would stop being deceived and would stop seeing things as physical and as being made up of matter, we could be set free from that delusion. And then we would be like God. It was only in error that we could actually see him in the first place. He really never did exist in the flesh, since matter is a delusion. However, somehow God sent him here in a way that we could see him so we could learn that what we see is in error, and we can correct what we see and try to become more like God. When it's all said and done, it's obvious that Jesus being divine, eternal, or equal to God is out of the question for Christian Science. Jesus was also never really resurrected, according to Christian Science, because to be resurrected, you have to lose your life first. Since it's impossible for somebody to lose their life when they are in their proper spirit form, it would be impossible for Jesus to lose his life. What he did on the cross was actually an illusion or something perceived by us in our error to be a physical event. According to Christian Science, they maintained that Jesus was alive all the time on the cross and even after he was taken down from the cross. He never ascended into heaven as a bodily Christ. Everything that was being done there was simply being perceived as a physical event by those who were there who had that error of perceiving things in a physical way. So everything that seemed to happen at the cross really never actually happened in its physical sense. It was sort of a video, I guess, or an illusion that was teaching people how they should be and how they should act toward others and how they should be sacrificial in their ways. But this never actually happened, and it had nothing to do with saving us from sin. So actually, Jesus' entire life, including his crucifixion, never really happened in a physical sense. God just arranged it so that those who in their error perceive things in a physical way were able to see these things in a physical way, even though they never really happened in a physical way. All the things that Jesus did and taught while he was here on the earth were done to show us how to live and how to act. The only problem is that they never physically happened according to Christian Science. They were just things that we perceive to actually physically happen to enable us to be better in our state of error, if you will. Even when the Bible describes Jesus as ascending back into heaven, the Christian scientists say that that never really happened. He never physically ascended into heaven because he was never physically there in the first place. That was just an illusion made possible by God. What actually happened, they say, is that he just took his spirit form again and rose above the ability of the disciples and others to perceive him physically anymore. If people would just accept and learn from Jesus that when they perceive something as physical, they are in error, they would then correct their ways and be free from this whole prison of being in a physical world. In traditional Christianity, we are taught that we do live in a real world that was really created by God. We are also taught that we sinned and we fell into that sin. There was a fall of creation from which we must be saved. That's why we have to have a Savior. We are taught that Jesus came here and went to the cross so that he could take onto himself the punishment of eternal hell that all of us deserve for our sins. Christianity teaches that sins are real and have to be really forgiven. The penalty has to be paid, and Jesus came to pay that penalty for us. Christian Science teaches that sin is an illusion, and that when we buy into that illusion, we are in difficult circumstances. If we would just see sin as false, we would be just fine. In fact, Mary Baker Eddy said that Jesus came to, quote, destroy the belief of sin, end quote. Christianity teaches that he came to destroy the consequences and the punishment for our sin, to take it upon himself and to take it off of us. That way, because Jesus has taken the punishment for our sins off of us and onto himself, we now are free from that punishment, and instead of having to spend eternity in hell paying for our sins, we can now be with Jesus forever in heaven because he has paid the penalty for us. There is a huge difference between those two doctrines. Christianity teaches that sin is real and that Jesus came here to save us from the consequences of our sins. The consequences of our sin tell us that we have to go to hell forever unless somebody pays the penalty, which is spending eternity in hell forever. Unless somebody pays that for us, we have to pay it ourselves. Jesus came here to pay that penalty for us. And by the way, he was the only one qualified to pay it because he was the only one who never owed that penalty because he was perfect. He never sinned. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Bible says that God told Mary and Joseph to name their child Jesus because the name Jesus means deliverer. He said, name him Jesus because he will save or deliver his people from their sins. Yet Christian Science teaches that the whole thing about sin is a delusion in the first place, and that Jesus came here to teach us that it was a delusion. If we would just accept Christian Science says that it is a delusion to have sin in existence, and that Jesus came to teach us that, if we would just accept that, we will be completely fine. As I said, there is a huge difference between those two doctrines. Only one of them can be correct. Let's go on to talk about how the Christian Science Church actually does see itself in the world. Christian Science sees itself as the only real church in the world. Everyone else is in error to some degree. Mary Baker Eddy said, quote, "Outside of Christian Science, all is vague and hypothetical," end quote. They do celebrate the sacraments of baptism and communion, but they never use any material elements because, of course, for them, material things never exist. They say that their baptism is spiritual. When they get together for communion twice a year, they say they're being fed on spiritual bread from heaven. In addition, when they come together for communion, they say they are actually commemorating the last breakfast that Jesus had on the beach with his disciples after he was risen and before he ascended back into heaven. Again, the confusion comes into play because in the first place they say that the whole issue of Jesus coming, of him being crucified, of him being risen and ascending back into heaven is just a delusion that was made possible for the disciples and others to see in their state of error. Nonetheless, they say that when they celebrate communion, they are celebrating that last breakfast that Jesus had with his disciples on the beach. With regard to what the Bible says about the Last Supper, they teach that at the Last Supper, when the Bible says that Jesus was breaking bread, that was never something literal, since that would be using something of a material sense, which was an error. What breaking bread actually meant was Jesus was explaining what it meant to have real spiritual being and how to avoid error and being deceived by the material world. They will tell you he didn't have any literal bread. He had spiritual bread from heaven that he was feeding them. When it comes to the existence of a place like heaven or hell, those two things are also delusions. Heaven is reaching the level of spiritual life that will allow you to see the error of feeling that the material life actually exists. So once you are free of the material life, and once you're living the true spiritual life that you once had, but somehow lost by deception, you will be at a level of perfection and sinlessness, even though there's no such thing as sin. However, reaching that state, which would kind of be equivalent to heaven, even though they say that a place of heaven never exists, reaching that state or level of spiritual existence is never completed on this earth. It has to be completed after our lifetime on this earth. Mary Baker Eddy said that when we leave this life, we are just entering a change. After we go through this change, we will still be alive, and we will have to work at the process of denying sin in the material world. If we continue to progress to the point where we deny sin and the material world correctly, we will ascend to a level of spiritual being that, as I said before, is a perfect state of sinlessness. That would kind of be like their heaven if they said heaven existed. If we fail to make that progression, we will simply be annihilated. We will never be forever tormented in hell, as hell never did exist, nor does it exist today, according to Christian Science. We will simply cease to exist. Some people felt that Mary Baker Eddy would even return to the earth at some point. However, Christian Science has officially stated that they never expected to see her come back to earth in any particular form. They must assume that she has progressed to the point of spiritual perfection. Therefore, there is also never going to be a second coming of Christ because that would be useless. There would never be a reason for Christ to come again because there's nothing for him to do. Having an end times when Jesus comes back to judge the earth as we see in Scripture would be an effort in futility since the world and all matter never existed in the first place. Therefore, Christian Science is a methodology that is taught to people. It teaches that Jesus came to this earth in a way that we could perceive him in our error of material perception. He came to teach us all of the things that we are to do, and he came here to show us that all the things that we perceive as being material, including disease and sin, are actually false. So once we learn how to deny effectively these errors, we will be free of our moral error and incorrectly perceive mortal bodies and be in a spiritual state that is a state of God. As I said previously, Mary Baker Eddy and Christian Science teach that in this life that we in error perceive to be physical, we never really have an end to our life. We just go through a change at some point and enter into another dimension of existence. Speaking of her own change, she felt that she had to give the picture that nothing actually ever happened to her physically, and so she asked one of her colleagues to say that she had been mentally murdered. Doing this would be able to deny anything that had ever been physical in her life here on earth. Some people in the church felt that Mary Baker Eddy would return to earth at some point. However, Christian Science has officially stated that they never expect to see her come back to earth in any particular form. This, therefore, allows us to conclude that they must assume that she has progressed to the point of perfection and being free from any of the errors of feeling that material things or matter actually exist. As I said previously, the closest thing to pastors in the Christian Science Church would be those people who are called Christian Science practitioners. They are people who have been officially trained to pray for people for healing. Anyone who has taken a 2-week course has the authority from the church to officially go and pray for people. However, full-time practitioners are much more fully trained and must be members of the Mother Church in Boston. These practitioners actually charge for their services, and some insurance plans actually pay for those costs. The U.S. government has declared that the IRS will consider such payment a legal expense. Mary Baker Eddy did have some exceptions, though, because if for some reason a person was unable to properly deny the disease or problem that they had in their life, drugs could be used until they reached that state of proper denial. The Christian Science faith continues to preach and teach its doctrines throughout the world. I trust that in this seminar you have learned a number of things about the Church of Christ Scientist, or commonly called the Christian Science Church. You can see how it is very different from the normal, authentic, traditional Christian church that exists in the world. In fact, I'm unaware of any church in the entire world that recognizes or sees the Church of Christ Scientist as an equal or sister church in the faith of Christianity. Again, thank you for listening to this seminar. There are 4 other seminars in this World Religion series, the first of which dealt with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, commonly called the Mormon Church. Then there is one on the Jehovah's Witness Church, one on the Church of Scientology, and one on the faith of Islam. I trust that the Lord will continue to bless you in His Spirit as you continue to seek and serve Him.